University of Tennessee Hall of Famer, former Sacramento Monarch and ESPN analyst Kara Lawson, who joins us now.
And Olympic gold medalist.
Of course.
Well.
Yeah. Olympic gold medalist.
Hey,
no
Kara,
question.
How you doing?
Hey, guys. It's good to be with you.
Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you sharing your thoughts on a very difficult day for you. But I kind of want to go back to where it all starts for you and your relationship with Coach Summitt. I want to know, what does the recruitment letter say, and what did she say during the trip that got you to go to Tennessee and change your life?
Well, when I was growing up, Tennessee was a dominant program, and at that time, there wasn't a lot of women's basketball on television. It was very few and far between that you were able to see games. And I can remember watching games and thinking, who is this crazy woman on the sideline? I mean, I was just transfixed on her when her teams played. And I remember thinking, man, I would like to play for her. How intense she was, how focused she was, and how competitive she was. And when I got in the recruiting process, one of her great strengths as a coach was her ability to read people and her desire and her curiosity to find as many ways possible to motivate you based off of your personality. And Pat and I had very similar personalities. And so she found out early on what made me tick, what I would be attracted to, and just kind of zeroed in on that, just how competitive I was and how eager I was to improve and to earn something as a player. And that's what sold me about her was I was 18 and I knew I needed help to get where I wanted to go. And after going through the process, there was no doubt in my mind that Pat Summitt was the person that could get me there. I had no doubts that after being coached by her, I was going to reach my potential, whatever that was going to be. I did not know how hard it would be. I did not know how many challenges she would put me through, but I knew what the end product was, and I was desperate to see that. I desperately wanted to be the best player I could be. And so it was an easy decision. And it was, looking back, the best decision that I could have made.
You know, Kara, what's amazing to hear you talk about Coach. We had Nancy Lieberman on earlier. We played a clip from Peyton Manning. And almost universally, all of you are talking about not only how much she meant to you, but just how much you, I don't know, like could use her as a sounding board, that she would have all the right answers. What is it about her that you guys could all go back to, talk to, and feel, not necessarily you're going to get what you want to hear, but you're going to get what you need to hear?
She had a wealth of experience, and she had fought her way to where she was. There was nothing easy about Pat Summitt's journey. And when you know someone's journey and you know what it's taken for them to get where they are, and you're having a little detour in yours or something that you perceive as maybe a bump in the road of yours, are you going to ask somebody that's had it easy? Are you going to ask somebody that's been where you've been and ultimately found their way out to the other side? And not only that, they flourished. And they're where you would hope to be, when you are an adult and when you are grown up. And so when you're 18 to 22 years old, and you're looking at the people around campus and in your life that can give you the best advice, it was a no-brainer for someone like Peyton to come talk to him, or a no-brainer. I can't tell you the countless number of athletes that would go, seek advice from Pat. Every sport, coaches from around the country, coaches, people. I mean, the number of people that would come to our practices or be in a locker room or want to see her or want to talk with her, It was remarkable to see the respect that she had from so many people.
It's funny, Carrie. You mentioned that I've told a number of personal stories that kind of began with the breakfast that Pat made us with the massive amount of bacon and eggs and the big giant tube of biscuits. And you talking about coaches just reminded me of another story where we were at Pat's house and she took a phone call in which she was almost consoling someone. And she, you know, oh, don't worry, everything will get okay, be okay, you'll turn it around. And she has this lengthy conversation, and she hangs up, and she goes, oh, he's just going through a tough time. And Kara goes, oh, who's that, coach? And, oh, it's Roy Williams.
Roy Williams.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the type of impact she had on, you know, Kara just talked about players in other sports and coaches as well.
Yeah.
And that's a specific memory I have because I just thought that was – okay, so she just hung up the phone with North Carolina
– yeah.
Roy Williams? Huh.
That's casual.
Yeah.
Hey, well, North Carolina was struggling at the time, and Pat had been through that with Tennessee, and he literally called her to get advice. And I just found that amazing.
That is amazing. You know, Kara, we think about your coaches and when you play, and it's very easy to remember all the winning. It's really easy to remember all the success that you have. But you came in as a freshman, and you played all 4 years, and you're playing as a freshman. I'm wondering, what was your lowest point at Tennessee, and what did Coach do, or did she do anything to help you out of that?
My lowest point was every day of my freshman year.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
It was very difficult, and she was on me all the time, and every possession, every play, every practice, all the time. And I just remember thinking, I want to be better so she will shut up. that's what I want to happen. That's why I want to do well, because that was really all I could think of, because it was just relentless. And it was hard, to be a freshman is such a culture shock for any player that came to play for Pat. And then you compound that with being a freshman point guard, which, you know, to play point guard for her was the most challenging position to play for her because of what she demanded from you. Everything was your fault. And, you know, I had to just learn. There was so much I had to learn. And I can remember watching film with her before practice and her teaching me. And eventually, over time, I found that she yelled less and less, and I realized that I actually just was getting better, and so she had less to yell at me about. And then it became a different type of relationship when I was an upperclassman, and she was so good at involving you as a player. So when you got to a certain point where she trusted you, now there's involvement. Now, I never hesitated. A lot of people would say, well, were you intimidated when you played for her? And I said, well, initially, sure. But once I became an upperclassman, I would just go up to her and say, hey, I like this player. Maybe we should run this. Or, you know, maybe we should do this for whoever. Or she would come to me with certain issues of, you know, what should we do with the team here? Or what should we do, what order should we have today when we're on the road? And that type of building me as a leader to where she wanted me to be able to be self-sufficient. She wanted me to be able to make those type of decisions. She wanted me to be able to be confident and be able to be without her when I left. So she empowered me in that way. And not many coaches do that. Not many coaches are willing to cede some of their ownership and leadership of a team to their players. And Pat did that.
So when all those things were instilled in you from Coach, what was it like, Kara, when you had your personal success, when you're drafted, when you win the championship of the Monarchs, when you get a gold medal, when you have broadcasting success? How were those conversations after you had some great accomplishments?
She just had a lot of pride in what her players achieved. after they left Tennessee. That was one of her greatest sources of pride, because it reflected what she believed in the most, which was empowering young women to go out in the world and make a difference, and to go out and pay it forward and help create other strong women. So it just made her so proud to see what we did. I owe every bit of the professional success that I've had on and off the court to Pat Summitt, because you know, it all started here for me. And when people say to me, you know, I love to watch you on television, or I love listening to you, or you really explain the game, you know, in a way that I can understand, it makes me feel good, and I smile and I thank them. But how the game was taught to me was by Pat in those film sessions, and that has enabled me to in turn teach it to other people. So it is because of her that I'm doing what I'm doing, covering the game and having the success.
ESPN analyst Kara Lawson joins us, a name very familiar to the Sacramento community, covered the Sacramento Monarchs for a long time, and obviously a part of the Sacramento Monarchs championship team. Kara, you mentioned it all started here because you're in Knoxville at this moment, and we've talked at length on this show about the impact of colleges in towns like Knoxville and Lexington and Tuscaloosa and places like that. What has Knoxville been like today?
Well, it's a very sad day here, and it's a very sad day around the university. I'm actually right across the street from the Pat Summitt statue right now, which is right on the corner next to the basketball arena. And it has been nonstop of people coming the entire day to pay their respects. Police officers and people just on the corner just to help with the flow of people and the cars stopping, you know, to a crawl to go by and look. And, of course, anywhere you go within the university, everybody is sad, and everybody is together and going around town. It's not a normal day, but there's so many people in town, and there's so many people that loved Pat and that love this university. So it has been good to be here, to be with a lot of people that mean so much to Pat, and that we all mean so much to each other.
You know, Kara, everyone is mourning right now. It's painful, and you have to go through that particular part of it. But then at some point, you get to the stage where hopefully you're able to be more celebratory and honoring the life, celebrating the life. Are you close to getting to that point where you're ready to celebrate the life? Or are you still deeply in mourning?
It's kind of an ebb and flow, Ken. It's kind of an ebb and flow. I can't say I'm at good days and bad days because it's the first day, but it's kind of good moments and bad moments. I'm so grateful for the experience.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I had no intention of asking Kara to be on today. It was actually something she suggested. I know you've done a million of these today, and thank you.
If you did not, we would not let you come back here tomorrow. I'm looking you right in the eye, and yeah. I'm telling you that. You know that I would not let you back in the building tomorrow if we did not speak to this woman today.
I understand. And you know, we'll have to do this again, because if we can get away, there's a reason she hasn't been on before. If we can get away with it once, we could get away with it again. Big Blue Nation in Lexington, Kentucky is in love with Kara Lawson, and it seems we're forming our own Big Blue Nation.
Seemingly.
At the Golden One Center.
Yeah.
So we'll have to have Kara back on to discuss the mini Wildcats that are taking place here in Sacramento. So Kara, thanks again for joining us. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.